that we would know God more. Somehow Paul knows that knowing God more is what we need, even if we don't know that we need it. Paul knows, God knows. Knowing God more is what we need, even if we don't know that we need it. Our spirit is starving for knowledge of God. I'm really good at feeding my body. I'm really good about that. How much do we feed our spirit? How much do we feed it? This is its food right here. The Word of God is the food of our spirit, because it is in the Word of God that we receive spiritual wisdom and revelation to know Him more, to know Him better. We think about that for a moment. What does it mean to know God better? Yesterday, we had lunch at home, but because of the situation, we had some people over at our house. We had some friends over. Cindy didn't have an opportunity to cook, so she ordered takeout. And she said, I'm just going to order for us Vietnamese food, Kevin's Noodle House. And I said, okay. And I was slightly concerned, just a little bit, because what she orders at Kevin's Noodle House is not necessarily what I would order at Kevin's Noodle House. And she's going to go and do it. She didn't ask me, what do you want? So, all right. She brought the food home. And I was pleasant. Oh, hey, how you doing? I was looking to see if you were here. And I liked it. She did well. 15 years ago, maybe she misses the mark. You know what I'm saying? 15 years ago, yeah, you all laugh right now. Just wait until you order for him, okay, for the very first time. Honey, you'll love this. Salad. No. She did well. She ordered correctly. Because 15 years later, she knows me better than she did 15 years ago. I hope that 15 years from now, we would say, we know the Lord better. We know what He would want to order from Kevin's Noodle. We know His tastes. We know what He likes. We know how He would respond. We can kind of approximate and anticipate how He feels about certain things. And it's a very loosey-goosey type of way of measuring how we know God. I don't necessarily think that knowing God better is necessarily knowing specific points of doctrine. Those are important things. But that's not necessarily the same thing as knowing Him better. I think about this relational understanding between people. I'd like to think that I know my boss, my colleague, my friend. I think I know Pastor Richard pretty well. We've worked together for 17 years. I've known him for 20 years. I think I know him pretty well. To the point where I can even say to other people, hey, go ahead and ask Uncle Richard, but this is what I think he'll say. And then hey, what did he say? Yeah, he said what you said. I know him. There are times that he'll speak up in a meeting, and I'll think to myself, that's exactly what I was thinking. Do you know God better today than you did when you first started knowing Him? Because that's where this comes in, is to know Him. And He wants you to know Him. And He knows you need to know Him better. He wants to fill you with that spiritual wisdom and understanding, which will help you get through the day. Don't say that, oh, spiritual wisdom and knowledge is not relevant for my life. It is. It is relevant because it changes the way you think, and it changes your value system, and it makes you wiser. Makes you better at making decisions at work, I guarantee you. It makes you more joyful. It makes you get through your illness a little bit more with fortitude than without it, without that knowledge. It does help you get through the day. It helps you to be more patient with your kids. When you know him better, it makes you more patient with them. Somehow it translates. It makes you a better employee. It makes you a better student. When you know God better, it makes you a better student. I don't know how, okay? I'm slightly overselling it right now. But I think you get it. Knowing God better makes you a better person. It makes you a more success. It helps you sell more bagels. I don't know how. It just does. Because I believe knowing God better makes you a better person. It fills us from the inside, and that shines on the outside. Do you know God better? Paul says, I want them to know three things, and I'm sorry, I left very little time for this, but he says in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Three things he says he prays for us. The hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Two of these things look forward to the future. One of them is for right now. But they're all things that unless he tells you, you won't know. The hope to which he has called you. What is that hope, folks? We need to spend a little bit of time defining what that hope is. And we've discussed this before. The hope, I'm going to say this, it's going to sound a little bit blasphemous, but I want to give me a chance to explain. The hope is not to be in heaven. That is not my hope. My hope is not one day to die and be in heaven. It's not my hope. My hope is better than that. Zachary asked me yesterday, is heaven, we learned in Sunday school, heaven has streets of gold. Is it all gold everywhere? I don't know. But you're supposed to know that. I don't know. Never been. And I said, and I thought to myself about this message. Thought, how much do I do this? How far do I go? My hope is not to be in heaven. Because heaven would mean that I've died here on earth. And that's not my hope. My hope is for Jesus to return before then. That's a better result. The people in heaven right now, my mom, hopefully my father, my grandparents, the people in heaven right now are also waiting for the same thing that I'm waiting for. You know what they're waiting for? They're waiting for God the Father to say to God the Son, Son, now go and inaugurate your kingdom on earth now. And the Son says, yes! I've been waiting for this. Eddie's been waiting for this. Eddie's parents have been waiting. We as believers have been waiting for the moment you, God the Father, said to me, God the Son, now. That's my hope. The hope that I'm waiting for is for Jesus to come back and to fix a broken world. My hope is not to be in heaven. That's kind of a temporary zone. Until we get the real party, which is Jesus returning. And Paul says, I pray that your eyes would be open so that you might know what that hope is and that you might be hoping for that hope, for Jesus to come back and fix the world that is broken. And boy, folks, the world is broken. We are in a messed up world, and I'm not sure that anybody can fix it. I'm not sure that anybody can fix it. except for Jesus. I pray that you would know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. This word inheritance, boy, Paul's used it a couple times already, and it does mean different things in different contexts. On one hand, the inheritance is what we would receive. That's sometimes he uses it that way. On the other hand, the inheritance is what God has chosen for himself, his portion, his inheritance. We talked about that last time, that Israel is his inheritance. And this is actually what it is here. He says, I want you to know how wonderful it is to be chosen by God to be God's inheritance. I want you to know how wonderful it is to be on God's side, to be the apple of God's eye. I wish you would know that. I wish you would understand that. You know, you plan for a wedding, and you have to send out a guest list. You only have 100 spots, but you have 200 friends. So what you do? Yeah, there's an A list and a B list, and sometimes even a C list. So if you get the wedding invitation and it's 2 weeks before the wedding, my friends, you were on the C list, okay? That's just how it is. It stinks. It's the truth of life. We're the A-listers. He wants us there. He sent out his invitation to us first because we are his inheritance and there is glory in that. And Paul's going to explain that as we go forward in this letter, what it means that we are on the A list. And then finally, Paul says, I want you to know the power, the incomparably great power for us who believe. He goes on to say in verse 19, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. So what we're talking about here is resurrection power. The power that God used to resurrect Jesus is power that is available to us to strengthen us, to give us resolve, to change us for the better. We are not powerless. In fact, as Paul says, we have incomparably great power that is available to us. Yet another reason why I like the benediction, which I'm going to say in about 20 minutes here. That of him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. We talked about that last time. According to the power that is at work within us. That's that power. Resurrection power. You can't do scientific discovery to uncover the limits of that power. You can't find it. There's no tool, there's no measurement to find it. If God doesn't tell us that we have power, we might think that we are powerless. Paul says, you are not powerless. I've given you wonderful power, great power. That's the same power that I used to raise Jesus from the dead. It's available to us to help you in your struggle, to help you overcome things that you think are insurmountable. Sometimes we encounter issues that we say to ourselves, how am I going to get through this? And God says, I got you. Do you not understand? I would never leave you powerless because you are an A-lister. I got you. You just have to ask. Paul says, I want you to know God more. And you're going to know him more by knowing what he has provided for you, the hope to which he has called you, the riches of being an A-lister, and the power that's available to us today. That's how you know God more, by knowing what he's done for us. Brothers and sisters, as we go through this letter, our hope is to know God more. Is so that picture that we have in our minds of God, when we close our eyes and we see God sitting on a throne, that picture becomes more and more resolved with every passing refresh. It's clearer and clearer. That's our goal. That's our task through this letter. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we pray, along with Paul, that you would allow us to know you more. That you would allow us to know the hope to which you have called us. the riches of the glorious inheritance in God's people, and the incomparably great power for us who believe. Help us to know these things more and more clearly, Lord. To know you more and more clearly. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.